Now, across Australia, there are some amazing dogs that spend every day working to support their beloved humans. They will be there in the midst of a panic attack or when someone just needs assistance to get out and about. They are super pets known as assistance dogs. Now, the dogs trained to assist people with disabilities, children with autism and people with PTSD do some incredible, incredible work. But what goes into training these dogs? What can they do? And how does it all work? This morning, we are speaking with the top dog of Assistance Dogs Australia, Richard Lord, to find out more. Richard, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Yeah, my pleasure, Jess.
Would you mind telling us a little bit about Assistance Dogs Australia and what it is you guys do?
Okay, well, we're Australia's first assistance dog organisation, and we started about 24 years ago. So when we first started, we were training dogs to help people who require a wheelchair for mobility. So I called these dogs a triple treat because not only were they your best mate and an extra pair of hands, but they're also a security device as well. So, as you know, dogs always love you and never give away your secrets. Absolutely fantastic. But these dogs, if you're in a wheelchair, most people had to go out with a carer or mum and dad, and having someone looking over your shoulder all the time. So to be able to get out on your own with your best mate was absolutely fantastic. But if you drop your keys or your mobile phone, dog was there to pick it up for you. If you got to the traffic lights and the button was too high to push, the dog was able to jump up and do that. You go to the shop and you know, the counter's too high to pay the money, you can put your wallet in your dog's mouth and it'll jump up and you know, hand that over. Hopefully you get your wallet back with the right change. On the other side, if you're outside and somehow you fell out of your chair, the dog would bark and bark and bark until someone came along. And that's just as worthy at home as well. Well, you tell your neighbours, if you do hear my dog bark, come in and see me. There could be something wrong. So that's the sort of safety device aspect of it as well.
That's incredible.
Yeah, and but over the years we've had demands from other areas. And, you mentioned in your intro, families with kids with autism and people who are living with post-traumatic stress. And we've got into those areas as well. And let me say, the demand is overwhelming. We can't keep up with the demand in any of those areas. But for kids with autism, you know, having a dog, especially trained dog, and that's the secret, I think, because many medicos tell these families, you want to get a dog. And, you know, some people go down to the local pound and find a nice rescue dog, but it's just not the right dog. So it can add more demands to the family, let alone helping the family out. So we run a program called PAWS, Parents Autism Workshop and Support, where families or mum and dad come along for three Saturdays in a row and learn all about aspects of having a dog and caring for a dog and how the dog will work in their family and assist child or children with autism. And from that, they sort of make up their own mind whether they think a dog's right for them or not. But if they think so, they can go on their waiting list and hopefully that dog doesn't take too long to come along. And it all helps in all aspects of the child's development, cognitive skills, communication, confidence building, and even developing empathy. So then they're fantastic in that respect.
How do you train these puppies and these dogs to assist people? What's the process like?
Okay, so the dogs leave their mum at about 8 weeks of age, and at that time we have volunteer puppy educators who take over the responsibility of looking after that dog for the next 12 months or so. During that time, they're supervised by our puppy educator supervisor. They meet regularly in groups and also one-on-one sessions just to go through basic training and obedience of the dog, as well as lots of socialisation, getting the dog out into the general public, catching public transport of all sorts, coming across you know, different noises, skateboarders, buses backfiring, that sort of thing, just to get them used to whatever they could possibly run into in the community while they're working. And, of course, they're learning the same sort of skills that you'd want to teach an obedient pet dog, sit, stand, stay, wait, recall, that sort of thing. And after that 14-month time, they come back to our National Training Centre, where our professional trainers then take over and work with the higher order skills, which may be, you know, picking up that dropped item or in the case of PTSD and autism, coming in and leaning on the person, applying pressure. The dogs will pick up whether the child or the person with post-traumatic stress is having some anxiety.
Mm.
And the dogs come in and lean on and apply the pressure, just letting them know that they're there and bringing the person back to the moment. So they're sort of things that we teach those dogs. They also look for signs of anxiety, like wringing your hands or holding the head, that sort of thing. So, and of course, the dogs have got their sixth sense, so they can pick it up anyway through normally the smell, the changing body odor. So,
yeah.
So that's how that works. So during that time of being that intensive training, we also start to look at what the dog's going to be best suited for. Is it for someone in a wheelchair, or is it for someone with post-traumatic stress? And once we get that worked out, we start looking at who's on our waiting list, which would best suit this dog, because it's not just the next dog off the rank. You know, every dog's different, just as every person is. So it's getting that right match. You know, if you're an introvert, the last thing you want is a bounty, happy dog that's jumping around all the time, dragging attention to you.
Yeah.
And we've also got to take into account, you know, what you do, what your hobbies are, you may be still working, that sort of thing, to ensure that the dog's going to be suitable to match your hobbies or that workplace. We have a ambassador, Tim McCallum. He was on The Voice, I don't know, about 5 years ago. And, of course, he's an entertainer, so he needs a dog that can go with him. He requires a wheelchair, so he needs a dog that can go in and places like the Opera House or other venues. And
big, loud places.
Cope with big crowds and the darkness and so forth. So we've got to take that into account for every person that we assist with one of these dogs.
Are you able to train dogs to do specific behaviours for an individual person or an individual need that they might have, like Tim with having to go into big, loud kind of crowded spaces?
Yeah, so, you know, we work with our clients to say that, you know, you're taking over the training now. Let's have a look where the dog may assist you in special things. I remember one guy who trained his dog to help him pull him out of bed to the side. And other issues we go back and help with. I remember one fellow, he became the deputy mayor in his local region, and was going to events all day, and of course we found out the dog didn't like applause.
So
we had to go down and sort of teach the dog to cope with that. So we're learning all the time as well. So all our puppies get lots of applause now during their training. So
seems easier than teaching people to be not as good at their jobs to teach the dogs like that they should like applause.
Yeah, so we have a support mechanism for the next 8 to 10 years working off the dog. Once we're placed, we see the dog and the team, and they do a special internationally designed public access test every year just to ensure that they're keeping up their standards. But if they do have any issues, we're on call to go in and assist them if anything's changed in their life or that sort of thing. I remember one of our recipients was crossing the road and was hit by a car, and so was the dog. So, of course, they were okay, but the dog didn't like cars very much after that. So we had to go and do a bit of retraining with that sort of activity. But, we're always on call to support our clients right through the working life of the dog. And when the dog's getting about 8 years of age, we start to talk to them about what we're going to do in retirement, how they're going to look after their dog, where the dog may be placed, that sort of thing, getting them ready for their new dog, because they go to the top of the list, waiting list for the replacement dog.
Wow. This is so life-changing for so many people who benefit from the assistance dogs that you train and the love and the support and the assistance that these dogs bring into their lives. How can people in the wider community, people who are listening this morning, get involved and help support the work that you're doing?
Well, two ways, I suppose. What we're always looking for is puppy educators, volunteers who have the time, the enthusiasm and the courage to hand the dog back after 12 months.
Yeah.
And, we support them through the journey, but, it's not for everyone. A lot of people tell us they couldn't do it because they fall in love with the dog and couldn't hand it back, but we're always looking for puppy educators. We've just had 8 beautiful yellow labs born last week, and we've got some more due in the next couple of weeks, so we're always looking for people in southern and northern Sydney. We've got a couple of puppy educators around to work with that. But also, donations. We don't get any government funding. And there's an investment of $40,000 in each one of these dogs, which we give away free of charge to people right across Australia. And last year we gave away 41 dogs. So you can see the investment that goes into that activity.
Mm.
So if people would like any information on either of those two aspects, our website's out there, assistancedogs.org.au. Or if they'd like to make a free call on Monday, 1-800-688-364.
Beautiful. Richard, thank you very much for your time this morning and for all of the incredible work that you're doing. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Jess. Thanks for your interest.